After the meeting ended, they went back to Appledale in the same car, by mutual consent talking only of things they could see from its windows. After supper, they settled to business, and finally, Brunn's big brother treated her as an equal.
I have to say, I was impressed with your performance today.
I didn't do anything.
You didn't pout, flounce, flirt, or storm. You sat there being attentive, intelligent, and menacing.
Menacing?
Didn't you see our new speaker watching you during the voting?
Yes, it made me itchy.
As well it should. The man's odd, Brunn. Well, Mother's gone to Cerealis, I hear. Are you staying here?
For now, yes. I'd planned to be the person on site to deal with the Grand Council. Unless you want to take it over.
Are you sure? Because if you can keep an eye on the Council, then I can concentrate on what our dear uncle was up to with the various family companies. It's hard without Kevil.
I'm sorry.
Buttons looked at her a long moment, and she knew that he knew what she meant. Sorry for everything, for becoming the issue by which the family lost ground, as well as the reason for their father's assassination.
Don't be sorry for being yourself. And don't be sorry for coming back. It'd be worse if you hadn't.
I don't see how.
I can think of a dozen ways, and so can you if you take the trouble. But that's not what matters right now. We've got attacks on all fronts. Where'd you put the babies, by the way? I don't want them used as hostages against us.
Cecilia DeMarctos took them somewhere. She's trustworthy.
Well, unless she puts them in a barn and tries to turn them into racehorses. Grooms I wouldn't mind, but you never know with her.
You're right. I don't think she has them with her.
Good. As long as they aren't going to cause us trouble.
Not for another 10 or 12 years. I don't want to think about them as teenage boys.
If we have a Familius Regnant in 10 years, we can worry about it then.
Brunn glanced at him. His face had gone somber, and he looked far older than his age.
Buttons, do you agree with Hobart about that?
That the Familius is in danger? Yes. That it's in danger because of lax leadership in the past? No. It's his policies that endanger it most. This business of restricting the franchise. One way we've had of relieving strain between families is that the small know they can enlarge by having more seat holders. That's let them take in outsiders as clients. Dad said the movement of power from one sept to another was a major factor in keeping the Familius stable. That's why they instituted the kingship originally.
Why can't Hobart see it?
I don't know. Back when I was a boy of maybe 10, and you were still in the nursery, I overheard some of the adults talking about how the new rejuve methods might change things politically. I remember Dad and Uncle Harless arguing. When I asked questions in school, nobody seemed to understand them. And later, when I was in the Royals, everyone talked as if the repeating rejuvenations were just a way to stay young for a normal lifespan, not an actual extension. It was, the year that Lupescu came to Cerealis, I think it was, where Charlie Winditson got drunk at a mess dinner and pointed out that if our parents never grew old, we had no reason to grow up. There was no future for us. Everyone laughed and drank, and I remember a sort of cold chill. I left the party early, called Sarah, and that's when we decided to marry.
I didn't know that.
Well, you were being wild at the time. Most of our set were. And I suddenly saw it myself. Our parents, he'd been more grown up, working in family business in some way, by the time they finished their education. Sometimes even before. But their parents barely lived past their centuries, and retired from family work in their 80s. The first rejuve upset that a little, but the new one... I came home and talked to Dad about it. He promised that he and Mother would resign their duties while I was still young. He transferred stock to me right after the Hunt Ball, and encouraged me to be active in council, as well as business.
And I thought you'd gone all stuffy.
So I had. But I didn't want to go from childhood to childhood. Rich enough to rejuve and be 20 or 30 all my life with nothing to do. That's no way to live.
But Uncle Harless, what about him?
He saw multiple rejuves as a way of maintaining family power. He wanted rejuve restricted to the seeded families at first. So did some others. But the proposal didn't pass. Then he tried an age restriction. No one under 80 should be eligible. That didn't pass either, of course. The ageists, who had used the biological problems with the earlier procedure to make repeated rejuves illegal, expected his support with the new procedure, but he didn't go along.
So, you're saying the population grew?
No, not just that. The birth rate in our set actually dropped, because people could wait to have children until they were 50 or 60 or older. It's the shape of the population that really changed, and the power structure. Age always did confer an advantage of experience, and now it could do so without losing any advantage of physical strength and energy. Younger people needed to find new opportunities because the old weren't dying, or even retiring. And, of course, people wanted rejuve, and especially when they found out how useful it was in some kinds of illness and injury. Everyone rich enough wanted it. And the Consulines wanted the profit.
Which meant expanding somehow. Like Dad's proposal to open new colonies.
As a temporary measure. Some others wanted to annex adjacent territories. But Dad opposed spatial expansion, on the grounds that we couldn't serve all we had. And why alienate neighbors, when we had planets within the Familius outline which could be settled? But he wanted more support for colonies, too. He'd been pushing the Colonial Office to make allowances for the less stable ecosystems of the worlds now being opened. That translates into concessions for the companies and families purchasing settlement licenses.
Oh, I don't know enough to follow this.
Well, you can learn. Basically, the longer a world is allowed to stabilize after the terraforming treatments, the more easily it can be colonized. Until recently, this required such long-term investment that very few families would attempt it. When the Familius Regnant came together, the Council agreed to a joint investment at one world a year. We only know how much better the old treated planets are because of the Lost Worlds.
Paradise? Babylon? Oasis?
Yes. All treated in the second wave of outreach, and all lost to the records for centuries in the Cluster Wars. So they had between 700 and 800 years of stabilization after treatment. Nothing like the mature ecosystem of a planet in its natural state, but for human purposes, vastly superior to most of the worlds we used. Only now are others approaching the quality. The scouts who found Paradise found mature forests with 300-year-old timber, grasslands with deep soil, not a shallow dark layer, estuaries rich in shellfish, rather than a few colonies that had still to be nurtured. A stable climate, reasonably predictable. Nobody had known what difference another 5 centuries could make. If we could let all terraformed planets have that long, colonists would have a much easier time. Not easy, it's never easy, but easier.
But temporary, you said? Was he thinking of enforcing a limit on reproduction or on rejuve?
I'm not sure. He talked about both from time to time. But the Familius is so complicated. You know, we have planets populated mostly by free birthers, and others with mostly zero growthers, and probably 8 dozen religions, not even counting the fringes. Any policy one group approves will offend someone else. And meanwhile, the percentage of the population that had been rejuved was going up every year. Every survey taken showed that rejuvenates wanted and expected to rejuve again.
I wonder how the Grand Nassi have handled it. They've had the process as long as we have, and they aren't falling apart.
I don't know. It's a good question. Do they have our diversity of beliefs?
And I don't know that one. This is seriously complicated stuff, Buttons.
It's a seriously complicated universe, and we are right in the middle of a whirlpool if we don't figure it out.
Buttons gave Brawn a long, steady look.
You're a grown-up now, and you volunteered for the job of being Council Watchdog for our family. This is what it takes.
Being a Dizzy Blonde was such fun.
In the working passenger's mess of the Jessamine Essence, the men had played the newsvid cube of the assassination and aftermath 3 times already, without more than a few muttered cuss words. Then one of them, the oldest, shut off the player.
So we're too late and somebody got him first. So what do we do?
Get the rest of them. If he's dead, maybe they won't be watching so close. I could take that yellow-haired slut.
But I keep thinking about the chilling, Dan. By rights, they should be ourn.
Ben's right. Somebody stomps a rattler's head, no matter how it squirms around, it's not gonna attack nobody. We don't need to be going around killing people like criminals. But getting our chilling back, that's a good thing to do.
But how are we gonna find them? Now, supposing they already been sent to new homes.
Dan held up his hand.
We don't know that yet. First thing is, we'll look for them in a group. Probably we'll hear if we keep our ears open. Every port we come to. Now mind, nobody gets drunk like that idiot on Zenebra.
They all knew about that. A whole shipload had been captured.
No fights, no arguments. We have a mission. A new mission. and that's the rules. Got it?
Yes, sir.
The next day, the Jesse came into Goldwyn Station, and the working passengers debarked after checking off their assignments with the captain. For once, working passengers had actually worked without complaint, and the captain added the optimal minimal pay chit to their goodbye handshake. Whatever anyone said about fanatics, he always liked to hire the pious brotherhoods because he could count on them to work hard and keep their fingers off the cargo. The Goldwyn Spacers Services Station, or S3, offered a variety of cheap lodging, food, and drink. This was an all-civilian station, rarely visited by RSS ships, and the diversity of familiar spacefaring cultures showed up in decor and cuisine both. The men followed their noses to something with a familiar smoky meat odor and settled at one long table. On one wall, a news vid showed scenes from some business meeting, but they didn't recognize any of the faces or references. Then, a face they did recognize, a blonde woman with short, curly hair.
Any comments on the outcome of the meeting, Sarah Meager Thornbuckle?
No. You do realize our family is still in mourning.
Yes, Sarah, but what do you think of a Consuline as speaker?
Excuse me.
She turned away, and the camera followed, showing her getting into a long, dark maroon car.
Damn, it's her!
The waitress, in red checks and blue denim, slapped menus down in front of them.
You men are all the same, just because she's young and rich and pretty.
We'll have chili, all of us. A bowl of chili each, and some crackers.
Dan's glance silenced the others, who looked ready to say things they must not say.
And some beer?
No, not yet anyway.
Not until they'd found out what they wanted, where the women and children were. If they could find them and bring them home, even some of them, they'd be honored among men. Maybe even more than if they'd managed to kill the speaker themselves. That would stop the Rangers of Texas True from saying they were nothing but a bunch of wifeless drifters causing trouble.
Look!
Ben touched Dan's arm and nodded at the news vid. There it was again, the picture that had infuriated them all. Women and children in the traditional clothes walking down a corridor from a ship's hatch, guarded by battle-armored troops of the Familius fleet. Dan had trouble following the accent of the newsvid announcer, but he did understand Baskar Station. He didn't know if that was where the women were in the picture or where they were now, but they could always go and find out. Somewhere there'd be a bar and men talking, and someone would know, if he asked the right questions.